The text is the Gospel reading, Luke 5, 1 to 11. Everybody loves a fish story. Well, that's not true. For 25 years, I've had a figurine in my office of a fish holding a sign that says, "Fish stories told here." Not once has anyone asked to hear one. Well, though no one's asking, I'm telling one. No, I'm telling two fish stories. No, make that three. A good fish story starts with defeat written all over it. You fish all day, you get nothing. Sometimes not even a bite. You don't even lose your bait. In New Orleans, they'd say they went shrimp drowning, shrimp being the live bait they were using. Others would call it a bluebird day. That was a day perfect for fishing. Not too hot, not too cold, not too windy. A bluebird day is a day you were sure you're going to get your limit. But again, nothing. A good fish story starts with defeat written all over it. Can you see it in the text? Peter says they fished all night. Actually, he says, through the whole of the night, having toiled. That's fitting. Peter's a commercial fisherman, not a recreational one. Fishing is work. It's how he puts bread on the table and a roof over his family's head. Yet, what does he have to show for a whole night of hard work? Nothing we did catch. And what is Peter doing now? Washing his nets. He's not cleaning fish. He's readying his equipment for the night, next night's work. It's one thing to clean up after you caught fish. It's another to do it after you've gotten nothing. And once more, note the difference between me fishing for fun and Peter quite literally fishing for food, for family, for finances. I'm competing at best in a fishing tournament. Peter's in the Hunger Games. There's another fisherman on the scene. Disappointment, too, is written all over his outing. Well, over one key part. Jesus has caught a boatload. People are crowding him, not to be healed, not to have loved ones freed from demons, but to hear the word of God. Jesus retreats into Simon's boat, interrupting his necessary work of net washing. And he sits, that's the teaching position of a rabbi, to teach the crowd. So while the crowd was there to be taught God's word, Simon is there because he has to be. He has to be to wash his nets. He's not there to hear God's word. And when Jesus asked him to put out into the deep, Simon, not Peter the rock, Simon, not the new man Peter, but the same old Simon says, "Master, even though we've worked all night and caught nothing, on the basis of your word, I'll do what you say." By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord, the dead were raised. By the word of the Lord, sinners are forgiven, devils defeated, and lightning bolts are sent. By the word of the Lord, the shattered are made whole, the mournful comforted, and the hopeless hopeful. But that's not the spirit Simon speaks out of. Simon is the ticket-punching Christian. He might be you. Because God says so, I come to church. Because God says so, I sit here. I stand when told. I say what I'm supposed to say and listen to whatever that guy up there say. Church membership is a sandwich club to you. As you leave, you get your ticket punched for another week's worth of Christianity done. Some of you get your ticket punched every week, some every couple of weeks, others once every so many months. The irony here is that no amount of ticket punching gets you into heaven. Ticket punching is sinful, as Simon came to realize. Well, that didn't work. I got here way too fast. I told you the end from the beginning. Back up with me. Aren't you tired? Aren't you discouraged? Haven't you worked all night at this being a Christian thing? And are you any better? Are you any different? And by the way, where are the fish? The word of God is droning on in the background of your life as you do the work of your life. You wash your nets, tired out from the work before. What's this? Jesus saying something to me? No, he's commanding me to put your boat out into the deep, and you must let down your newly washed nets. He commands you, put off the old man and put on the new. He commands you, do this often in remembrance of me. He commands you, you must repent and see the kingdom of God is here. He commands you, teach your children well. And Simon-like, Igor-like, you say, yes, master. A good fish story has despair written all over it, but has a miracle written all over it in the end. That's the day that started out with forgetting to put the plug in the boat and sinking it at the launch that ended with limiting out. That's the day of a howling thunderstorm that ended with fish just the same. Then there's the bluebird day where we drowned several dinners worth of shrimp, but caught nothing. Throwing the bait overboard, we see a Jack Crevel of better than 2 feet long darting in to get the bait. My 10-year-old son wants to try for it. I say you'll never catch it. He throws in a line of 12-pound test to try to catch a fish that regularly strips all the line off much bigger reels. I don't think he'll hook it anyway, but hook it he does. I don't think there is any way that he'll get that fish in the boat. But way beyond all hope and certainly every expectation, he does. Simon is already in the boat of the real fisherman, but he's not really. He's in the boat of the master punching his ticket. Then Jesus pauses, teaching the crowd. He is not, as the insert translates, finished speaking. He leaves off for a moment, teaching the crowd to continue teaching Simon. And the teaching is sharp, maybe harsh. Maybe not to the level of Yahweh teaching Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him to me on the mountain. I will show you, harsh, but pointed just the same. He, a rabbi, trained in carpentry, tells a commercial fisherman to put out into the deep. You don't fish in deep water with nets. He tells him to dirty his cleaned nets in midday when every commercial fisherman knows you fish evening, nights, and mornings, not midday. And Simon is going to do this in full view of his fishing partners and all the other professional fishermen gathered on the shore that day. Yes, master. Even though we just got done fishing all night at the right time, right place, without catching a thing, because you say so, I'll dirty my nets again. Simon does not believe he will catch fish any more than your sinful flesh believes anything happens here today. Simon does not believe the master will give him anything but a dirty net, any more than your sinful self believes that God gives you forgiveness through the words I speak to you. Simon thinks all he is doing is punching a ticket one more time, just as your old Adam does every time you come through the line. Hear the whole punch click as you leave and you think, well, I'm good to know now for till next week, maybe till the week after, or even a month or two from now. Simon hears the ticket punch, but then he's overwhelmed by a net-breaking load of fish. And Simon is reconverted to Peter. That's what the Holy Spirit tells you. Simon is the one who answered, Master. But Simon Peter fell at Jesus' feet, saying, Lord, Yahweh, God of the Old Testament in flesh and blood, you must depart from me, because a sinful man I am. Peter is hooked. The old Adam is no longer ruling this man. The new man confesses his sins, falling down at the Lord's knees. Jesus has remained seated because he's still teaching. And Peter knows what Isaiah does, and may we all know, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. When you least expect it, the grace of God comes exploding into your life. You realize, despite your disappointment, despite your sinfulness, despite your unbelief, misbelief, and your other great shame and vice, God, because of Jesus' holy life and his guilty death in your place, is still mercying you. He's treating you like you treat a child who is acting like a toot, acting like you're doing nothing for them, acting like they deserve whatever you do for them. God, for Jesus' sake, continues to richly and daily supply all your needs of body and soul. He gives you in your baptism that you haven't thought much of, forgiveness of your sins, rescue from death from the devil, and eternal salvation. He gives you today in his body and blood that was nailed to Calvary's cross, not just forgiveness, but life now and eternal life forever. This is the sense that Jesus wants you woken, not into this or that injustice in America, but what he has been doing for you in word and sacraments day in and day out. While you have been going through the motions, punching your church ticket, he's been giving you his good gifts and spirit. Though you know you have deserved not just eternal punishment someday, but temporal punishment. That means punishment today. Though you know you deserve death, sickness, despair every single day for your sin and sinfulness, God Almighty gives you his own dear son instead. You came to God saying, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and beyond all hope or expectation, he forgave us me the iniquity of my sins. So Jesus says to you what he said to Peter, you can stop being afraid. Simon Peter is at Jesus' knees in a sinking boat, having realized how greatly he sinned by his unbelief, by his slavish obedience, by regarding his Lord, Savior, and Redeemer as Master. Seems to me like Simon Peter has a whole lot to be afraid of. Oh, the old Adam Simon surely does, but not the new man Peter. Just as your old Adam is to fear God always, but that's not all we say, is it? We always say we should fear and love God. Your new man, your new creation is in Christ and therefore knows there is no condemnation, not some, not a little, but no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So it says Romans 8:1. A good fish story puts you there. You hear the fishing reel sing, you see the rod tip bend, you see the fish break water. The Holy Spirit would put you in the boat with Simon Peter. He would show you how you go from being just Simon to being Simon Peter. How Jesus is more than your master, he's your Lord who wills to overwhelm you with his good and gracious gifts. And may you with Peter say, I'm going to need a bigger boat. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.